The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 335. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I am joined by Emilio Lopez.
The Family Ghost!
Okay.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
And Adam Vale.
Sucker free Sunday.
Yeah, I think that's everybody right now. No Brian, no Brett. No, the brurs are gone, you know?
Yeah, just going brurs. Brothers is gone.
Yeah. So I don't know what's going on. Yo, by the way, reason we're like a little late because Adam was regaling us with stories about Ghost of Mars. He loves that movie. I thought the movie was trash.
You're not alone because I looked on like 22% and on Rotten Tomato and another 22% on IMDb.
Yeah, sounds about right.
But I fucking loved it, man. I'm still loving it because we were talking about that Army of the Dead. Really liked that movie. That was a fun one. So we were just talking about all the ones that, at least for me, that it connected with. I put it in that category.
Oh, if Army of the Dead's like Ghost of Mars, then I'll definitely have to skip
that
one.
It's not like Ghost of Mars.
It's not like that.
It's that I like enjoying it. I put it in that category of like, wow, I'm going to rewatch this at least once or twice every other month and just have fun. Like put it in the background while I'm doing some like meditating or yoga or something.
What the fuck? Listen,
if, yo, man, you don't do no yoga.
You don't do that shit, man.
Oh, you're right. I don't do the yoga. So
I was gonna say, man, you'll be like, you changed, man. You move out to the.
You sold out.
You sold out, man. You changed, man. I remember when you was that little kid living in the incinerator, man. You changed.
That's true. The incinerator smell, that burning smell, man. It up and you get that smell, that stench, getting your nose hair, stay with you for a few days.
It's funny you realize that we've been around long enough for where we saw them transition from burning incinerators to they just dump the garbage from the incinerators.
Yeah, no, man, that shit is crazy. Anyway, throw out your questions. Let's get some questions in, man. No need for fluff tonight. We actually got some good questions. A lot of fanboy stuff too, as always.
You know me again, Fanny.
First question is from Mob Hits, the man who supplies us with all the rumors. Now, I had to change his question around a little bit because he says that we're nearing 1 year after the launch of Next Gen. No, it's only been 6 months, dude. Hasn't even been six months yet.
Half a year.
Yeah, it's only been half a year. It's been half a year and a week, you know, as of the time of this recording. So, yeah. So I don't know where you got that from. It's like, oh, we're nearing 1 year mark. No, we're not. That's November, brother. You know?
Maybe he means the 1 year mark when they made their dumbass announcements when they didn't show anything. How about that? That's about a year.
So anyway, so I altered the question a little bit to say we are 6 months past the launch of last gen consoles or next gen consoles. I should say, is next gen finally here?
No.
That's easy. No.
No. Here's the thing. We're getting some signs, right? Returnal's pretty next gen. Ratchet and Clank is coming, but let's just be honest. Xbox doesn't have any next gen nothing. I'm not even being an asshole. They just don't. You know.
Come on. Like we're still getting games from the last generation coming out.
Yeah.
I mean, people are talking. You know, Tony's like playing Mass Effect. That shit ain't on the new consoles. Near Automata, Near Replicant just came out. That ain't on the new consoles. Yeah. There's a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Coming
the only still. Game I can name at least from this year that's like, oh shit, this is next gen. It's Returnal, and even that, as we've said before, it's an indie game disguised as a AAA game. You know, has next-gen production values and next-gen controller features for sure. But that's like the only game I could think of. Ratchet & Clank is going to be next-gen, obviously. But I think it'd be better to ask us this question literally a year from, like a year from November or last November, like a year later, November, whenever the hell.
In 6 months.
In six months, basically. Like, cause right now.
Yeah, it just sucks that this is where we are 6 months into this new generation.
And nothing.
It's nothing. It's so dry. And that's why it just points to the whole feeling of this could have waited.
Easily.
They knew.
They could have released these consoles this year, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Because then we get closer. I mean, we talked about it when we heard about the new engine. What was it? The one that, I'm blanking.
The Unreal?
The Unreal Engine. Yeah, the new engine. And they're like, oh, yeah, this is coming next year. I'm like,
Nobody said that. They said they're going to let the tools out next year, but we all know it's going to take another 4 years to see games that look like that.
Yeah, I mean,
they said we knew it wasn't coming this year.
Yeah, yeah.
We knew it. They said it. That's what I'm saying. And it's like, we knew it wasn't coming next year, but yet these consoles were still coming. But then that means all the games that we were going to get were still going to be running on old gen.
Yeah, yeah.
On old engines. So then we knew we weren't going to have anything new.
No.
At least not when it comes to the engine system. Because so many games, many developers use that engine. They modify it, they tweak it. Then it even takes another year or two for them to master it.
Yeah.
So let me pat myself in the back real quick.
Oh.
So remember, you know, Mass Effect Legendary Edition. It's not PS5 supported, right?
No, it's not.
You know, Nier Replicant, is it PS5 supported?
It doesn't have anything extra. It just runs about the same, and the load times are a little faster.
So what happened to this whole? No, you just scale it up. Scale it up.
Mm,
you know?
Right.
Remember
right.
that whole talk that people were having, you know, that during the confusion of this of this next gen stuff? It's like, why, if it's so damn easy to just scale shit up, why aren't these games scaled up for PS5 and Xbox?
Mm. It's because it needs additional at least for these things, it just needs additional development in order for them to do that.
Oh, by the way, I know the answer is because it's not just easy to scale things up. It doesn't work like that.
It's like unless they have something within it already that's thinking in advance that once it hits this new console that it automatically does it, right? It does, you know, it does whatever it needs to do. But even then, even some of the PlayStation, like the 4 to 5 games, they're like, okay, yeah, it gets some enhancements, but it doesn't get higher resolution.
Yeah, like Last of Us 2.
Yep.
Yeah. By the way, Toomaker goes, don't you just take a couple of boxes? Yeah, take a couple of boxes, and it's next gen. Bam.
Oh, they think upscaling works like the fucking the PC menu when you're adjusting your thing on
resolution. Put on the settings on high.
Yeah, put the settings on high.
Put the settings on high. Click all the check boxes in there.
All right.
Put everything on ultra.
There's more development time, but let's not act like they're creating new fucking assets here or anything either.
No, they're not. They're not making new assets.
The truth is somewhere in the middle. Like, a lot of people want to be like, well, you know, if they go back and put this thing back in the oven, like, they really don't need to put it back in the oven. They need to make sure it
somewhere in the middle between one and what?
Between people thinking that it takes a shitload of time to actually have to like put this thing back in development, and people think that you just have to scale up the menu. Like, you have to put the B team on it for a little while.
You still need a sort of development time on there. And the thing is, I think for games like Mass Effect, they're like, all right, we already spent a bunch of money making this thing work for it, but maybe they'll put out a patch later on to get that thing running a little bit better.
Go ahead. You know, all of this isn't development either. They have to go through the long, arduous process of getting it approved by Sony and Microsoft, which we know is at least like a 7-month thing.
We don't know actually.
From
what I've heard, and maybe they expedite for, you know, bigger companies or whatnot. But yeah, it between 3 and 7 months and whatnot, which is why, you know, they'll release patches much sooner on PC because they have to go through a big approval process to get through consoles. So I know that there is at least several months of that. So it has to be optimized. Like, yeah, you scale it up, they're not creating new assets, but then you have to optimize it to the machine itself, and it has to go through the approval process and all the fucking red tape, and then it can release. So like that's why I say it's somewhere in the middle. It's not all developing, it's not just turning it up. It's kind of there.
Yeah. But yeah, no next gen, not yet. wait another 6 months. You know,
yeah, no more next gen now. We're still gonna get the leftovers from whatever from the previous generation. I don't know what else is on the pipeline. I haven't looked at what's coming out next, but still, you're still having big releases on the previous generation. So.
Yeah, that's it.
We have on the pipeline. I believe Ratchet and Clank is probably the next biggest title that I think might showcase the hardware. Deathloop, I believe, is like.
That's September. That's
September. And then we have Halo Infinite, which is probably going to be around November, I'm guessing. And then Horizon and whatever the hell God of War comes up. I don't think it's going to come out this year.
No. I don't think it's this year.
I doubt we'll get Horizon and God of War the same year. The only way I could see that happening is if, like, Horizon comes out in, like, you know, July or August, which that ain't happening, and then God of War in November. That's the only way, but that's not happening. I'm pretty sure Horizon will probably come out probably like November, if it comes out, November, October, you know? By the way, Blitz has a good point, though. Halo Infinite's not really next-gen, though.
No, it's actually...
But then again...
Made to work on the generation of Xbox.
Neither is Horizon, though.
Yeah, Horizon's still...
That's not next gen either.
It's still at this point in time a PlayStation 4 game. So there's still, you know... So Carlos,
Deathloop and Ratchet and Clank. That's it. Horizon's not next gen either, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah, that is true. I mean, I hope... Obviously, they're just rumors, but the whole thing about God of War, they're saying that it might be just a PS5 game? I hope so, and you know, I hope for Horizon, but I'm not holding my breath for that. And
well, they said it already announced as a PS4 game.
Yeah,
that and someone already said that, you know.
Yeah, and same thing for Halo Infinite. Infinite's going to be releasing on the OG Xbox One, One.
Xbox One, yeah.
The
second Xbox One.
Right, the second Xbox One.
Because the first Xbox One is the old one. Remember, we used to call that one Xbox One. You know, remember when Microsoft was like Xbox One? We're like, I already got an Xbox One. What are you talking about? You know, it's crazy, man.
Names, man.
Yeah. All right. Next gen TBA, right? To be announced or whatever. All right. Let's move on. Next question. Also from and speaking about God of War Ragnarok, there's a question. Would you be okay if Atreus becomes the lead in God of War Ragnarok?
I feel like that. I feel like it's sort of pointing that direction.
Boy.
Yeah, I think. Yeah. I mean, I guess I wouldn't have an issue, but I think everyone else is gonna have an issue with that. The God of War fandom loves Kratos for some reason.
Because he's awesome, sir.
I'm not the biggest fan of him. He's just angry man. That does a lot of badass stuff. He can just put in someone else.
The thing is, like, he's been the protagonist of the series this long. So I'll just rephrase the question. Like, let's say we got announcement now that Metal Gear Solid 2 was coming out, and somebody asked us, are you okay with Raiden being the lead of Metal Gear? and then think about this.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. And think about it. What happens every single time they try to take Master Chief away? People ain't happy about that.
Yeah,
you know?
Like, what? Yeah, it's like the same thing. What if you switched out, you know, Master Chief for another Spartan Locke?
Yeah, like people are like, nope, want that Chief. So I think with Kratos, Atreus, even though that's his son, and there's also a narrative reason. I'm like, I don't know if you want him to be the lead. Like, you know what? I'm trying not to spoil it. You know what I'm saying? But I'm like, yo, he's gonna become somebody else, man.
My only thing about it is that unlike Spartan Locke and unlike Raiden, at least we got to know Atreus before. If they do decide to do a switchover, we at least know Atreus.
Yeah.
You know, when they do the switchover, unlike with those guys, they just went boom, new guy.
Yeah. And also we're looking at Atreus as a kid, so that's probably part that will make people not want to see him as a protagonist, because he's still a kid. You know, you still haven't seen him all brolic going ham and shit like Kratos has.
He's just gonna grow up.
Yeah, he's gonna grow up big and muscly, shave his head. You know,
he's gonna shave his head. But he's gonna have a new type of beard, because you know. Kratos already had the two. He had the, you know, the pointy, Lucifer beard and the original one, and now he's got
a burly beard. Yeah.
Guys, just with don't say it, obviously, but remember who Atreus is.
Yeah, I know.
Keep that in mind, you know? So that's going to be interesting if he does become, Oh, by the way, people, forgive some of the noise you hear in the background, because it's fucking hot. Manny, don't worry about muting. Just keep yourself on. It's hot. Just deal with it, all right? We got ACs on, you know? No, because I saw somebody, I think it was Tanya, our friend Tanya. She said, hey, guys, if you're in a stream and you hear people's air conditioning and fans, don't yell at them. It's fucking hot. Yes, it is. So we got to keep ourselves alive to do a show for you. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, man, it gets hot in here.
Yeah,
son.
I turned my shit on too. I don't know if you hear it or not, but I had to turn my AC on. Like, bruh.
I'm like 2 inches. I'm like, well, then again, you're a little further
than like
than
I am. Good 6 feet
my air conditioner is like literally off camera. So,
yeah. But yeah, Atreus, I think you're right just because of the fact that we know him. You know, it might go off better, but at the same time, some people are like, yo, where's Kratos at, man? So it'll be tough, you know, for sure.
I mean, we did end up playing a sidekick character in another famous PlayStation sequel.
Yeah, we did, and they became the main character for half a game, and then they introduced some other person we don't like very much.
You know? Oh, okay. I was like, you guys talking about Infamous? You guys talking about?
We're talking about Carlos. We're talking about those who remain.
Yeah.
Hey, speak for yourself. I prefer the second act.
I know you do, man. You also prefer Ghost of Mars. I love Terminator movies too, but you know that's a different.
Sarah Connor's
awesome, but the other person from What Remains, her. Yeah, no, but remember, one character's actually done good, the other one's done badly. That's the difference, you know. By the way, shout out to Manny's cat licking himself right on cue, you know, as always.
Yeah. Hey, what's up? Probably can't see him so well.
Yeah.
Just see his white hands.
Yeah, black cat. All right. Again, a little bit too much speculation there. So we're the hot tub. That's what I'll be next. We're all going to be in hot tubs next. That's a new thing on Twitch right now. You know? Hot tub streamers. Yo, my thing about that is like, listen, if you don't like that type of shit, watch another channel. Let them do what they're going to do. You know? People are fucking weird. It's like, you could just literally go to another channel. That's it.
It's not porn.
It's yeah.
It can be, but it's not.
Exactly. And conversely, if you like that type of stuff, go for it, man.
To quote another piece of crap, quick, change the channel.
Yeah. All right, man. Let's move on. Next question.
When I was a kid, I didn't like to see those Life Alert commercials.
Yeah,
which just triggered me.
Oh my God! You know they got serious now. They got really dramatic now. Like they play it like scary music like, and then you
Grandma
see the lady
fell
like,
down the
stairs. You see the poor lady just laying there like,
and she just yo man,
the stairs fell on her.
Yeah. I'm like, yo, I'm 10 years old, man. I don't want to be reminded of my impending doom right now. I want to watch cartoons.
All right, man. Let's move on. Next question. I believe this was one from last week that we didn't get to.
Okay.
It, pretty much after 10 p.m. Eastern, we don't look at the questions anymore. I don't. So this one came in late, but it's a good one. I don't recognize his name. Cute D. So hello, Cute D. No boy. Controversial question, though, man.
Oh,
controversy.
Do you think Xbox Game Pass will eventually go under?
No.
I don't think so.
Too many people are into it. They're cool with this whole idea of not owning shit and just renting. And we see with all these streaming services. So,
I mean, it'll
last.
I don't see. I think it's I mean, they're encroaching on the one of those older streaming services. And I feel like as long as it's got the new games that you want to play on there and it's, you know, doing that stuff, I think it'll be okay.
How many studios did Microsoft own now? They're like 12 or 13?
No, 16 or something. More.
It's some ridiculous amount. At some point,
remember, you got to add the Bethesda studios in there. You know?
Yeah, at some point, all those studios are going to have games that are out, and we know.
Oh, there we go. 23 minutes and 30 seconds, people.
Gotta have something.
We are definitely going to have something. Not gotta have. We know. Because all those studios are
going to
produce
something. We're going to have something.
Yeah, exactly. We are definitely going to have something, and they're all going to be on Game Pass for sure. That's a definite. So
yeah. So I don't see it going under. I, I mean, as the big sort of games, the more, you know, start to come along, I think people are going to do it a lot more. And then again, you don't exactly need an Xbox to do it. You could just be running it on your PC. On my PC,
your phone, your phone and your tablet. I'm waiting for them to have that tablet.
Yeah.
Once they have the Shield support, then I'm hyped. I'll jump on that.
The way I see it, Xbox is Xbox Game Pass. So only way Xbox Game Pass is going to go away is if Xbox goes away. The two are linked. You can't separate them now. So nope, it ain't happening. It ain't happening. As a matter of fact, I think in the future, the app may just be Xbox Game Pass. You know, I'm talking about like in 10 years where like the only way you can play Xbox is on your, you know, just through an app, you know, on whatever device you want to play it on. So nope.
And then
Xbox Game Pass not going nowhere because Xbox ain't going nowhere.
Then again, you know, it's I don't think in general Microsoft wants to be in the whole business of
hardware
manufacturing. Yeah. Manufacturing hardware. I think in general that's the future for them. They've always wanted to be some sort of software that or UI, you know, software UI user interface.
Yeah, they want to be a service.
They want to be that. They want to be a service. They don't want to be making consoles.
Yeah, no, we said that they're going to get out of console manufacturing eventually.
Let me tell you, the last person that's going to be in there is Nintendo because they're always like 20 years behind everybody else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Long after PlayStation does the service, let everybody else worry about the hardware. Nintendo will still be making hardware. They'll catch up later.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Imagine that Nintendo's going to be the only one coming out with consoles after PlayStation and Xbox have just put their apps everywhere, you know? Because that's going to happen. That's going to happen.
But the funky thing about a lot of this is that, like, they release their console and it does well. It's like, do they really need a service?
Yeah.
Well, Nintendo?
No.
Nintendo. Yeah.
Yeah, like when it comes to Nintendo, it's like, they're 10 years behind as far as tech, but they're still fucking selling.
Yeah, and Chris Blitz makes a great point that you always say too. Nintendo, at its heart, what kind of company is it? A toy company. So they need that physical shit.
They've been a toy company since before World War One. So I'm making toys forever.
Exactly.
I don't think they're gonna go anywhere. Nah. Game Pass, I think, is here to stay for.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yeah, Game Pass.
Game Pass
is
going
nowhere. I agree.
Yeah, yeah, we need to get to delve into Game Pass and going nowhere. All right, moving on. Next question. This is Jacob from Twitter. He hit me up about this. I'm like, we've talked about this before, but I'm going to specifically make a TD clip out of this. So let's go into detail about it. You know, again, we've talked about this before, but let's just really dive into it. Why hasn't Microsoft explicitly stated which Bethesda games are going to be exclusive to Xbox?
Well, we've been saying this for a while.
Yeah, so let's go over again because we're clipping this thing. Manny, you been pretty strong about this.
In general, it has to do with their press. At this point in time, they don't have anything. They don't have a pot to piss in. They don't have their Halos. They don't have their Gears of War. They don't have these big cornerstone titles that are immediately attracting people to the Xbox ecosystem, right? So anything they say, when they're saying stuff like, hey, you know, we're just going to lock Starfield over to the next console, the minute they release that information, they literally shoot themselves in the foot and literally the backlash will immediately happen after that. So what they'll do is they're going to do it piecemeal. They're saying that's why they're leaving it vague. They're saying it's a case by case basis. It is a case by case basis because they're not going to overtly tell you that every single game that is in the pipeline at Bethesda is going to be exclusive to Xbox. It's going to happen. Why would you spend all of that money on getting getting this big company like ZeniMax or Bethesda just to say, okay, we're just going to start handing out these games over to the competition? Nah, that ain't happening.
Yeah, exactly. Because the thing, Microsoft, and I kind of agree with the sentiment. People are saying that they're acting too much like the good guy. They kind of are, it's like, but the thing is, if you read what they say, it's like they've pretty much said it. Phil Spencer said, we made this deal to bolster Game Pass to bring you exclusives. He flat out said that. But obviously he can't say it just yet, not only because of good faith, but again, remember, there's deals in the background and stuff that they need to iron out, you know? There will be certain Bethesda games that still will be coming over. Obviously, Deathloop is one of them, you know?
Yeah.
So I believe they can't just make a blanket statement yet, you know?
I believe it's all the stuff that they've previously announced that have already been, previously announced, have dates, and are going to be coming out.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that will be the ones that are going to be coming out multi-platform,
yeah,
you know?
And then you have things like Elder Scrolls Online that's going to be supported everywhere. You know, they're not going to
be called support. It's already, yeah, they're not going to lock that one down based on the fact, oh, it's exclusive to Xbox. No, they're not going to do that because it's the same thing that that Microsoft did with Minecraft.
Yeah.
They didn't lock down Minecraft. They just literally, it's on everything else. So it's on this too. So yeah. I think that's what the situation is they're not going to say this stuff because of the plain fact they don't want to cause any sort of bad press. We've seen what the bad press does. How about when they decided that we got that random announcement that they were going to up the price of Games with Gold, right?
Yeah.
So what that caused?
Yeah.
They don't want that shit.
No, you're right.
Yeah. Ahead, it's all about hedging your bets, you know. Microsoft is not in a position of, you know, power per se. Like, they're not at the top right now. They're not a Nintendo. They're not a Sony. They're, you know, they're acting like the little engine that's trying to, you know, do what it can to go to the top. So, you know, by hedging your bets is the best way to sort of prepare for the future. Their consoles could all fail, you know. You never know what's going to happen, and they're going to want, you know, these games that they invested so much money on to make as much profit as possible. So sometimes you can have the possibilities where you might need to put these games on the PlayStation or the Nintendos and stuff.
Well, for future proofing right now, owning all these studios, that's it. So in case, like you said, if these consoles all flop tomorrow, they're like, well, we're a software company, and here's our games.
Yeah.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. But believe me, if Microsoft right now had the ego of fucking Jim Ryan and PlayStation, they'd be saying all of these games are going to be exclusive.
Yup, you already exactly. know. Yeah, Phil Spencer doesn't operate like that. That's the difference.
Yeah, I definitely think if they had more of a pot to piss in, if they had all those things in place and they were top dog, they said something like that.
I'm going to make a prediction.
What you saying?
I'm making a prediction right now. So this is what's going to happen. We're going to see Starfield for the first time, right? And mm-hmm. the footage is going to be fucking amazing, right? Mind-blowing, right? Like, yeah. People are going to be like, oh, my fucking God! And then at the end of it, Xbox PC exclusive. Ooh, watch that happen. People are going to be like, because now people will be like, hey, Microsoft will be like, hey, do you see that fucking game? You want an Xbox for that, you know?
Yeah, exactly. They want that sort of cornerstone there.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, that's the smart way to do it. It's, you know, make people hyped up for the games, not for the possibility of the games. And once they see something, like Tony mentioned, they're seeing Starfield and it's blowing people's minds, and it's got the boost from, you know, the Bethesda name, and it's like the next big game to come out. And then when people see Xbox, you know, series or Xbox exclusive, Game Pass exclusive, and PC, then that's when, you know, people are going to be like, oh, I gotta have to get an Xbox to play this game.
And by the way, when that trailer is running right at the bottom, live footage from Xbox running right from an Xbox, you know.
Mm-hmm. And then stay off of Twitter when you see all the outrage.
Oh no! You want to be on Twitter that day because it's going to be all glorious. The outrage. Yes. Chris, what's your take on this? You know, why Microsoft hasn't explicitly stated which games are going to be exclusive?
Oh, I mean that'd be a huge mistake to market that right now. You just they don't need the negative press. I think Manny covered it.
Yeah.
I really can't add anything to that. That it's our perception is important, and setting expectations is super important in business. And a lot of times that gets messed up, right? You know, and every company is guilty of that at one time or another. I think, you know, you can't announce stuff ahead of time, and you don't want to alienate potential customers, right?
Yeah.
So doing it the way Tony said, when you show Starfield and you get everybody drooling and then you say only on Xbox, that is a better way to do it than to just say Starfield is in development, it will be only on Xbox, because then you alienate anyone else that may have potentially come, like, like people owning a PS5 right now, or maybe in camp to PlayStation going like, oh, maybe I got to get an Xbox. If you tell them this now, they're going to go, oh, fuck this game. Fuck Xbox. Yeah. You know, I'm too loyal. You know?
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, because then it's going to come down to it's like, man, Starfield, like, I want to get it, but it's only on Xbox. And somebody go, yo, but you see it, though. See it, though, right? Like, and then guys are like, I know, but it's only on Xbox. But did you see it, though? Right? I'm telling you, man.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
so I don't think it's ever going to change. I think that Microsoft, when they say case by case basis, it will be a case by case basis, and that doesn't mean that every case will be exclusives. If they have games that you've never heard of, or they're launching new IPs or whatnot, you'll probably see that non exclusive. But you know, of course, the big ones will obviously be exclusive. We've all been in agreement there. That way, you know, they can launch game trailers and have people sitting around and be like, oh my God, I'm excited about this game. Maybe is it good? What's it coming to? Do we know anything yet? They can just release trailers without even saying, you know, what system it's coming to. So they can build the hype ahead of themselves as long as they, you know, release a game for PlayStation every once in a while. So I don't think we're ever going to get the very satisfactory, no, all games are now exclusive, because they're not going to be. The second you think that they are, they're going to come out with another fucking Deathloop or something like that. And honestly, it's a frustrating, but successful sounding strategy.
I have a theory about that. I think Deathloop 2 will be an Xbox exclusive, and then
That's exactly what they're going to do. They're going to launch it across everything, and then they're going to make it exclusive when it picks up. So they're going to cast a wide net for getting things hooked, and then when they have an audience, they pull them into Game Pass.
Yo, man, they're busting out a Trojan horse strategy.
Yeah. Who knows? That'd be interesting.
I wonder if it would be based on a decision if they look at the 90-day numbers for Deathloop, and if it sold better than 3-1 on PS5, then I would say they would change that stance.
Yeah, well, we can't see that because Deathloop is only on PS5 and PC, obviously. But
oh, it is. Oh, it's only okay. Forget that.
Yeah, that's a PlayStation exclusive. Yeah.
Never mind.
Going to Chris's point though. Let's say Deathloop sells over 10 million copies on PlayStation. It's like, oh, I guess we're going to make this exclusive.
Yeah. Mm. Again, I still wonder if Deathloop is going to be hurt by the fact that people are like, I'm not going to play the sequel. Like, I'll never be able to play the sequel to this, so why should I bother?
It all depends on people that follow all the news, and the casuals don't follow that shit.
They don't buy
what they see, so they won't know this. They won't know.
Yeah, it's really for the hardcore. You're right. You know, and that's always something we have to remind ourselves. Like, most of the game buying public is not guys like us. You know, it is not. Tony, so, yeah,
that's exactly why I said what I said, because everybody will know simply from when a game trailer launches who the studio is. You know, it'll be like, oh, that's a Microsoft owned studio. That'll probably be going to this. But if they just show a bunch of trailers, the average public will be like, I don't know what's coming to. They haven't announced it yet, but I'm intrigued. Yeah. And then, you know, once they've gotten people hooked, they'll do exactly what we've kind of talked about here. By the way, I agree with everybody. But they'll just be like, oh, yeah, I kind of get you hooked, get you salivating for the game. And then be like, yeah, that one's a Microsoft exclusive, too. Because the more they do that, the more it puts into the news cycle. Like, the more times you hear, yeah, it's a Microsoft exclusive. Yeah, that's a Microsoft exclusive, too. Yep, that one, too. The more it kind of builds this narrative in your brain that everything's on Xbox.
Yeah.
And I think that might be what they're trying to go for.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting for sure, man. All right, good discussion there. Let's move on to the next one here. Also related, this is from Upper Room AK. Been a while, brother, been a while. Good to see you back. So his question is, with Fallout 4 DLC finishing up in 2016 and the Bethesda Austin studio doing most of the work on Fallout 76, why is it so crazy to imagine Starfield as a 2021 title? They're both using the same engine. Bethesda Game Studios' last major title shipped 3 to 4 years after the initial reveal. Or 3 to 4 months. I don't know. I still don't think this game's coming this year. I really don't.
Which game?
Starfield.
Oh, I don't give a shit.
So, well, the question is, why is it so crazy to believe that it can come out this year?
Tony, because, Tony?
Yeah.
Can I just say what you just said? That's what they want you to think.
Uh-oh. Explain.
I mean, they've been absolutely silent about it, and there's silence that people, and it means that people are kind of thinking that, you know, there's not a lot going to be going on with this game. It's it's shrouded in mystery, and that's exactly the place you want it before you show a reveal trailer and be like, it's coming out in 3 months.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be fantastic. I hope that happens, but...
Well, no, it's been confirmed they're gonna talk about it on E3.
Has that been confirmed?
Well, by was it either Jason Schreier or Jeff Grubb, one of those two.
Okay, yeah, you're right. Jason Schreier did confirm it, yeah. They could pull a Fallout, you're right. They could pull a Fallout 4. It's like, announced at E3 and then coming out literally 3 months later. That could happen. That'd be good. And if it's an Xbox exclusive, that'd be even better, because now you have a reason to buy that system outside of Halo, you know?
The reason why I can't expect the Fallout 4 situation is because it's not going to be a Fallout 4 situation. Fallout 4 was literally announced and given a release date the same day.
Yeah.
Starfield was announced years ago.
That is true. Yeah, so it already isn't a Fallout 4 situation. You're right.
So, I mean, is it possible that it can come out this year? I think so. But do I think it's likely? Probably not, because this game has been in the know for many years now. And I feel like, especially Bethesda, you know, Fallout 4 is such a different case than other Bethesda titles that, you know, they take their time, man, with their stuff. So...
By the way, I like the way you said that. I agree. It's possible it'll come out this year, but I don't think so. I agree with you on that one. Definitely possible. You never know, but I don't think it will be.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, they definitely have, they have had a lot of time to work on this game. So maybe they can surprise us. And I think it would be a pleasant surprise and a surprise altogether, because they haven't talked about it since the day they announced it. But yeah, I think 2022, I think, would be the best bet for me.
Yeah, I agree. What about the rest of you guys? Could we see Starfield this year? The year of our Lord, 2021.
And if anybody wants to take bets, I'm willing to listen.
Let's go. I might
consider that bet.
Here we go.
Hey, he loses by Starfield for the other one.
Okay, let's do that.
All right. I'm down.
Hold on, I'll take Brett. Brett,
hold on.
Yo. Hey, he put his hand. There he is. You see
the virtual handshake?
Yeah,
virtual handshake. There you go.
There you go. Virtual handshake. By the way, virtual Brett, I'm going to do this on air right now. Did I lose a bet to you? Because I think I did somewhere down the line. Or am I bugging?
I vaguely remember something like that, but only vaguely. So yeah, it's whatever.
Yeah. No, because I'm just trying to use that as an excuse for me to gift you the new headset. Like, I want to buy it for you, man.
Oh, dude, I'm supposed to give that headset to you unless you buy it, you know.
Yeah, because I was like, I was supposed to give you one. I should just buy you this shit, you know?
No, money comes in waves. I'm a little cash strapped at the moment. That'll even out in the next few weeks, though.
Okay. Don't worry, bro. You're not gonna have to give me that game until 2022. So you got time. You
know,
And by the way.
I'm not putting this because I have full faith this is going to be in 2021. Most likely he's going to win that bet, but fuck it, it's a game. I think there's a decent chance that we could see it this year, though. Yeah, the reason that I think that is because so much of their news is publicly tied up behind Starfield. Like, are we really going to wait until 2022 before Bethesda has anything else to say? Because they said they're not really talking about any of their other games until after Starfield releases, I believe. Not after it's announced, after it releases.
So here's the thing.
Hold on, before you go on, Brett. I think you may need to rephrase that. You said, just to make sure I understood you right. You said that Bethesda won't keep quiet all the way till 2022. Is that what you said?
I'm thinking. I mean, yeah, I guess that's, yeah. I think that there's not going to be no news from Bethesda about any of the games.
Okay, I'm just saying that because, remember, news and game release are two different things.
No, I know. That's what they said. They're not releasing news about other games until after Starfield releases.
Let's just focus on Starfield for now because the other stuff.
No, I know. But that's my point.
Yeah.
I don't think that their production is backed up that far, even with the Rona, which means since we're going to have Starfield release before we hear anything, that means that even if it releases in late 2021, we won't hear anything until 2022. So I guess what I'm saying is, Yeah, for other games. So I guess what I'm saying is, are we not going to hear about the next Elder Scrolls or Fallout until 2023? Is Bethesda really going to do that?
No, I think we're going to hear something next year. For
well,
sure.
Well, if we hear something next year, that would mean that Starfield releases this year.
Or early next year. Yeah, I was going to say
it. Yeah, and that's where I'm like, I'm kind of guessing spring, but I'll take this one. Maybe they'll try for holiday.
Yeah.
Even after the Rona.
By the way, Brett, that's what I think. I think Starfield is going to come out in spring. At the latest. Yeah. Like, the game's going to come out either this fall, which I don't think so. But I think if I had to make a bet, I would say spring. You know,
you guys are just missing the huge elephant in the room.
Uh-oh, what's that?
So here's the thing. If Starfield does come out this year, it's going to come out in August.
Yeah, Halo comes out.
You're right. Halo is going to come out holiday season 2021. Now they're under this huge Microsoft umbrella. Are they going to cannibalize Halo with
Starfield? That's why I think spring, bro. They don't want to remember Starfield, Halo. Those are Xbox games, you know. So, and I don't give a fuck what anybody else is saying. That shit is coming straight to Xbox. Starfield is.
And space games, nonetheless, you know. Yeah, so it's
spring. This is what I say. Halo, November. Starfield in spring. Don't ask me what month in spring. Just spring 2022. No,
that sounds probably right.
Yeah, literally spring. If you want to, by the way, spring 2022 could literally be June 20th. You know, just throw it out there.
I'm throwing you a bone to annul the bet if you like. I don't mind.
I mean, just because I'm probably going to lose doesn't mean it's not a fun game. And
okay, fair enough.
You know,
I mean, if you want to even the odds, here, let's do this. Since the odds are against me, if it comes out in 2021, you buy me the collector's edition.
Oh, I like this.
If it comes out, okay. I'm glad we're clarifying this because games can get announced for 2021.
Yeah, if it releases in 2021, you get them to collector's edition. Yeah.
You know, there's been a long
and stream. Carlos, even if that motherfucker drops on December 31st, 2021, he still wins, you know?
So what time zone are we talking about? If we're being that specific.
Don't you guys have the same time zone? Your time zone, you know?
No, Brett's 1 hour ahead.
Okay. Neutral ground, my time zone. The only one that counts. New York, baby. Let's go. You know?
Sounds good.
I like this.
We are updating the... What do you call them? Updating terms.
Terms of service or whatever. I don't know. Yeah. I'm changing the contract, you know?
I have altered the deal.
Yeah, I've altered the deal. Pray I don't alter it any further, you know?
Hey, man. You know what? So, by the way, we need to clarify a lot of stuff because Brett owes me shit. So I don't know how I'll pay you the difference, I guess. Because remember, don't forget, Brett. We made a bet about whether or not Skyrim on the Switch is going to be top 10 on NPDs.
Yeah, I forget what I owe you, though.
A game. It was a game. So well, it'll be part of the bet. We'll what happened?
I said call it a game. Go ahead. Pick one of the many.
Yeah, bitch.
No. We'll wait. I'm not too thirsty for a game, but I'm glad that we're using Starfield as the basis for this game because if I lose for any strange reason, then buying the collector's edition is fine and dandy because I get to play this game on Game Pass.
Oh,
I don't get to pay.
Oh yeah, there you go.
That's funny. All right, man, let's move on here. Actually, hold on. Before we move on, Upper Room AK also had another question, but we're gonna save this for later because he's asking us about what we predict from E3. We're gonna save that for the pre E3 special. You know. So I got your question down. I have it, another file, and we'll get to that around E3 time, which is actually getting close.
Are we going to have a pre-summer games special?
Nah, we don't need to do that. next week
is... that much special.
Yeah. Who's... I can't pronounce that fucking name.
Karthik Kessu?
Yeah, he goes, hope there's more talk about next week, man. Pretty quite a pre-E3. Next week, that's still too early for E3. E3 is probably going to be like, when the fuck is E3 anyway?
Well, I mean, next week is Memorial Day week.
Next week is too early for E3. I know when pre-E3. Okay, so E3 is on the 12th, right? So on the 10th, that episode of Throwdown, that'll be 337. Mm. That's what that'll be, our pre-E3 special. Because I know some guys that they literally do their pre-E3 show like a month against. No, we do it days beforehand. We want the most updated news so we can actually speculate correctly, you know?
Yeah, there's always, you know, there's always the leak, the yeah. Microsoft leak, the obligatory Microsoft leak that comes out like a couple of days before E3. So we'll talk about that when that comes out.
Yeah, we're going to have to figure out how we're going to cover E3 this year.
No one's going.
Because I'm like, okay, because I'm like, throwing your questions will be on the 13th. E3 is happening during that. So the questions will just be like, what we thought of some of this shit. Because throwing your questions on the 13th, but E3 ends on the 14th.
But I mean, we're getting stuff. So the stuff that we're going to be able to play, we're getting games to play. So I guess we could talk about that.
Yeah.
Because that's it. Because it's going to be games that we played because we had access to them.
Yeah, by the way, you guys are in the chat, indulgence. We're brainstorming right now because we only got a couple more questions anyway. We'll do the pre-3 special on the 10th, then throw on your questions, another E3 special on the 13th, then we'll just do the mop-up episode on the 17th, you know, post-E3. All right, there you go.
Can we call it the pre-3 special?
The pre-3 special. We should have been calling that shit. Damn, it's a good one. You should have came up with that 6 years ago when we started doing these. That's clever.
Yeah, it's than never.
Yeah, that
why
is
you true. Wait so long?
Pre-3 special.
Long. So, right. So is there an E3 schedule somewhere that I can look up?
Probably on E3's website. You know, we'll check that out. All right. Anyway, let's move on. This is from Roman Ronin. All right. He goes, even though I have little time for games lately, I'll be getting the Mass Effect trilogy to play all the DLCs I never played the first time around. Some are nice little add-ons, others not really necessary. So which DLC stories or characters do you consider pivotal to the overall story of Mass Effect? And if you want, you could just apply that question to any game and its DLC. So let's start with Mass Effect. So I'm going to just go with the obvious one, right? Lair of the Shadow Broker, right? Very pivotal DLC because, you know, literally, I mean, you can say Liara becomes a Shadow Broker. That's pretty fucking big, you know? And then,
is that for the whole franchise or just the first one?
Because Lair of the Shadow Broker is the second, it's for Mass Effect.
That was my favorite DLC.
Be careful of spoiling. He hasn't played these DLCs, so don't tell him.
Yeah. Well, if he's played Mass Effect 3, he knows what happened. Mass Effect 3 literally tells you what happened in it.
Yeah, like Shadow Broker. Are becoming the Shadow Broker, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I need to say it twice, buddy.
Yeah, well, Mass Effect 3, she's already that, you know? And obviously, I was thinking about this last night. I can't believe Javik, a fucking, the Prothean, was a DLC character, you know? And the thing is, like, if, you know... Yeah, like, dude, and the thing is, like, if you remove him, it takes a lot out of it, because there's specific things meant for him, you know? That one still bugs me, like, what the fuck is wrong with you, man? EA did that, by the way. You know, it's like, Javik was, think about it, the fucking, oh my god, it's so crazy. So those two for sure, but there's, I like the Firewalker, I think it was, or Overlord. That was kind of cool, you know, with the synth VI guy. That the ending was fucking creepy. I'm not gonna ruin that, but it was like, yo, I don't know if you guys remember that. It combined the new land vehicle, the hover ship, with all this other stuff. But that was the ending of that was really fucking creepy. Bring Down the Sky for Mass Effect 1 was cool, because it was like bringing this asteroid to smash into a planet. That was kind of cool. But other than that, some of the others are just okay, you know.
Ending of Mass Effect 3 is a pivotal DLC.
Yeah, that is actually because of that's a pivotal one for sure, because it fixed the ending, you know.
When you ask about characters...
No, he just says which DLC characters are pivotal, because there were all, you know, Zaid was a DLC character, Kasumi was a DLC character.
I think we'd all
agree Javik is the main DLC character.
No,
you know?
Man, like every single time some shit would go on, like he had a whole bunch of dialogue.
Yeah,
you know, like Javik was just like, hey, I want to blow some shit up.
No, that's Zaid. That's Zaid.
Zaid, you know? Zaid was like, I want to blow up some things.
Yeah, like, okay. Javik was like, you know, Commander. I love the way he said that to Commander.
He's wasn't he played by Mantis?
I don't think so. I could be wrong about that. I don't think he was.
I think he was played by Mantis.
One thing I loved about Javik is like, because remember, we've only really known the Protheans through like the lens of Liara, right? So we're like these highly evolved beings and stuff, great technologically advanced. And Javik's like, I don't know about any of that shit. I'm a fucking warrior. You know, it just destroyed her whole perception of a Prothean. You know, she's asking him, tell us about your art, tell us about your history. He's like, I don't know any of that. I'm a soldier. I killed
Reapers. Without spoiling it, even just getting him in the DLC was kind of cool.
Yeah, that was
just
epic.
Like the way they, just the way they introduced him was like,
This one shot where, Adam, you're fucking me up right now. Like like when they finally bring him on the ship and he just gives you this look like, oh shit. You know,
that was good.
Javik is the man.
All of this is in the legendary collection.
All of that is in there. You know,
God damn, of it's in there.
All of it.
Earth thing. Yeah.
I suggest just honestly doing every DLC in Mass Effect 2 because it's the best in the bunch. You want to live that as long as possible.
Yeah. So I'm about to get to the end of Mass Effect 2, and I'm like, yeah, this is why this is my second favorite game of all time. It's just fucking amazing. You know, so good. Metal Gear Solid 3 is my number one game.
Can never number be three.
Uncharted 2. Those are my top three games of all time, and they all have and they all have the same thing in common. It's like these are the best movies I've ever played. You know, Mass Effect 2. That's actually not the best movie. That's the best TV season I've ever played. You know, because if you think about it, you had your one overarching arc of, you know, a narrative for that season and then separate episodes focusing on different characters. That's the way I saw it. I'm like, this is a season of a sci-fi TV show. This is amazing, you know? And even every mission ends like you know, has credits and all that shit, you know? It's good stuff. Mass Effect 2 is so fucking good, man. It's crazy. I'm Commander Shepard. This is my favorite store in the Citadel. Every store is my favorite store on the Citadel when I'm Captain. When I'm Commander, all of them, you know? They all give me that discount. All right. I think we all agree those are the main DLCs for Mass Effect. What about any other games? You guys want to just throw them in there for fun? Because the thing is, most DLCs for most games are kind of meh, you know?
DLCs.
Fallout 3 had a lot of good ones.
Fallout 3 did have a lot of good ones, actually. Yeah.
At the alien one, it had the swamp one. All of them were good.
The swamp one was creepy, man.
Yeah, that shit was fucking creepy.
Yeah.
Dragon Age 3 had a shitload of DLC.
Inquisition, right?
Yeah.
I don't remember the DLCs for that, but
wait, what game? What game was this?
Inquisition, Dragon Age Inquisition.
No,
Dragon's Age.
There we go.
I remember the first Dragon Age had a bunch of DLCs. I liked. I had one expansion. It was just a whole ass expansion. That was really dope, you know? But yeah, those Mass Effect DLCs, man, they hit different, you know? All right, let's move on. Oh, no, I got the question. Give me a second. I got to get the next one going. Who's next anyway? Oh, yeah. It's
Red Dead Redemption had
Red Dead. The fucking
zombie. Oh, the
Nightmare.
That was fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah, because I remember Rockstar did one that was good, but it wasn't the Grand Theft Auto, and that was it. Because Grand Theft Auto had some good ones. Lost in Dan, that was a good one.
Valley Gay Tony, that
was a good one.
I mean, that DLC was so good, they made it a separate game.
Exactly. I liked, was it Festival of Blood on Infamous? That was kind of cool with the vampires.
Yeah, the vampires. Yeah.
Yeah, that was good, you know? That's some good stuff. All right.
Remember when Tony was a timed exclusive for Xbox?
Yeah, I remember that, man. I remember when those games finally came out on PlayStation 3, right? I couldn't buy them because I was busy grinding for this one fucking thing to get the platinum in Final Fantasy 13. I was like, fuck, they're right there. I've been waiting for a year, but I can't play them yet because I'm grinding on this shit. That's the game that finally got me out of the whole platinum seeking shit. Before that, if I play the game, I will get the platinum in it, you know? But it was like 2 weeks grinding for this one material, man. Shit was stupid. You listen to the Warzone, you know? All right, now I'm ready for the next question. This one is also from Roman Ronin. Will this year's DC FanDome have a heavy emphasis on games like last year? If so, will it just be a rehash of last year's announcements, or might there be anything new? Last year at DC FanDome, we got the new Gotham game that was announced, the multiplayer one. We had the Suicide Squad game. Was there another one? I don't know if there was. Those are the two main ones I remember. I don't think WB is making any more. I think those are the only ones still in production, to be honest. I could be wrong. You know, let me know.
What, with the Batman games?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so fair. I don't know why. I feel like the next go around is just going to be a bunch of ports to the Switch. That's it. That's all I'm envisioning, a bunch of Batman games being ported. Yeah. I could have swore I heard something, or I saw last year there was a Switch logo on one of the advertisements. Then it got swiped away. It was removed. So it's like, oh, well, guess it's not happening. So,
yeah. You know what I think is going to happen? I think we're going to see those same games again, just more of them. Because the Suicide Squad game, we didn't even see any gameplay whatsoever. So maybe maybe we'll get some gameplay. But I think it's just going to be a repeat of last year, you know, because neither of those games have come out. Was the Batman game supposed to come out? Gotham Knights or whatever the fuck it's called? Or did that get delayed?
No, not yet. No, I don't think it was supposed to. I think that was just announced. I don't think they put a date on that one.
Because they showed gameplay of it. They showed
a lot of gameplay.
Suicide Squad, you didn't see nothing. It was all CG, you know. Was there any other games announced? That's the only two I remember.
I don't remember anything else.
So, yeah, can't really say much more about that. So, stay tuned.
I mean, wasn't it like a few days of stuff that they did for FanDome? So,
yeah, but it was mostly, you know, that fan came on heavy.
Yeah, the fan.
Hello?
Yeah. Because it lowered and then went back up again, like hardcore.
I don't know what happened there. I didn't touch anything. Anyway, I don't.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, just like last time, I think wasn't it? You know, they had a specific day for everything, so I think they're gonna just probably do the same thing. You know, give you an update on the cartoons, give you an update on the games, and you know, stuff like that. But again, I can't say this as a employee of DC. I can't say for sure. I don't know. That's higher than my pay grade, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at this announcement thing. Those were only the two games announced, so it's not. I wouldn't say it was heavy about games. It's only two games, you know.
So, also, Also, shout out to that Harley Quinn versus Superman game that they're making. Apparently, a company I worked at, Unbroken Studios, is going to be assisting with that, which is really great.
Okay, I guess that's another game then. You know. I didn't even know that.
Whatever that's the, you know, was it Harley Quinn Kills Superman or whatever it's called?
You mean Suicide Squad?
Yeah, Suicide Squad versus Superman or something like that. Whatever the hell it's called. That game, my old studio is going to be helping out with it. It's pretty cool.
Is that the name? I thought it was just called Suicide Squad.
And no, isn't it Super Suicide Squad something?
Oh, yeah, here we go. Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League. Okay, there you go.
Oh, yeah, Kill the Justice League. There you go.
All right.
But,
Yeah. All right, yeah, that's the only one of the other ones. We'll see. Moving on here. Next one is from Black Metal Gamer.
Black!
First question. If Resident Evil Village gets DLC, what other characters and time periods from that game's lore would you like to see? We got to be careful with this one because it might be getting into spoilers.
Man, we got to find out what happened to what's his face, his brother, the old guy, the old punching guy from the previous DLC, from the last Resident Evil. What the hell is that guy's name?
Oh, you mean Joe Baker?
Yeah, find out what happened to Joe Baker, man.
You know, I needed his assist in 8. He'd be just punching werewolves everywhere. I just needed fists, man. He was punching crocodiles, and he didn't give a shit. Yeah. That guy was awesome. His DLC made no sense, but he was awesome.
Yeah, we need to find out what happened to Joe Baker and all this. I mean, come on, Chris Redfield would be like, see that dude, see him punching all that shit, and he'd be like, you know what? I need this motherfucker on my team. I punch boulders. This motherfucker's punches monsters.
Kishak, I'm partially gonna take your answer because I like that. I want a DLC that's exactly like that baby room, that baby house, because that's like the creepiest thing. Imagine an entire DLC like that, you know?
Yo, that was like the PT house, man.
Yeah,
that's what that was.
I want a DLC like that, you know? That would be cool. Be scared as fuck. Chris, what about you? Again, just be wary of spoilers. What would you like to see?
Oh, wary of spoilers. Shit. because what I want to see would be a spoiler.
Yeah, see, Black Metal Man. I'll take the blame. I should have vetted this question better. I'm like, oh, wait, that's a spoiler. If we answer it correctly, we will spoil the game.
God damn. I have to whiskas something. All right. Well, you know what? Maybe we could get the perspective of Chris Redfield's team while Ethan's going through the game. Because they enter the village, you find their shit everywhere. What were they doing? So you could show that parallel story. That would be cool.
There you go. Anybody else here played the village? Because I think Chris and I were the only ones that played it. Yeah. All right. So there you go. There's our answers. Next question from Black Metal Gamer. All right. The Yakuza team typically does RPGs with beat 'em up elements, and they also did a cover shooter, Binary Domain. What other genres do you think that studio should do?
Don't do cover shooters.
Do cover shooters. Binary Domain was not good. I'm just saying, a cheesy answer. Do whatever you want. You know, it's gonna be good. Do whatever you guys want. It'll be good. You know, it's like, oh, I want them to do this. Do what you're gonna do, man. Because it's gonna have that. I can't pronounce the name of their studio, by the way. I say it's called the Yakuza team, like Rio Gagoto Goto. I don't know. You guys do what you do, because it's going to be good, you know? I don't think we have much more to say about that. So we'll move on here to Meke. And also the final question of the night. All right.
What?
Yeah, not a lot tonight, man. But it's all good. We're probably going to be getting a lot during E3 time, though. All right. Also kind of related to the last question, with the latest rumor being that there is another Final Fantasy game coming exclusively to PlayStation 5, and that it's some sort of Souls-like game, what existing franchise would you like to see a new spin on? Or before we answer the question, what the fuck is he talking about? Like, what? Have you heard this rumor? Who made that shit up? Was it another YouTuber? Because those guys seems to be getting a little out of hand now, you know?
Uh-oh.
Dumek, are you in the chat right now, bro? I've never heard of this. Like, did you make this up, bro? Final Fantasy, even at the end of the logic, it's like, Nani? Bliss is ready. You guys heard that? I mean, granted, I was playing Mass Effect all 2 all weekend, so I mean, I don't know, man. I don't think I like that. A Final Fantasy Souls game, like, stop making Souls games. Let From Software. I want Software to be the only developers that make those type of games, because they seem to be the only ones that do them right, you know? Like, all the other ones, they feel like cheap, you know? Like, even with I know people love these fucking games. The Neo games, they feel kind of cheap. Like, when I die in a Souls game, I'm like, oh, that's my fault. I fucked up, you know? Not like, oh, this fucking game. So I don't really want that feeling with a Final Fantasy game, you know? I mean, maybe it could work. From Insider, is it Jeff Rubb again? He seems to be, let me read this shit. It's from an insider that correctly guessed Sony's future. I'm not paying attention to that shit.
Oh, come on.
Stop paying attention to these fucking people, man.
Yeah, come on, man. It was like,
I know I'm going on a rant. He got this one thing right. Therefore, we should trust him. No, come on, man. Go ahead.
No, I mean, I was going to say the same exact thing. It's like, oh, yeah, number one, so does that make us fucking credible? We're just like, oh, yeah, we're credible sources because we just guessed right? Come on, guys. Yeah.
Granted, we do have a pretty good track record, but we're not sources.
Here's the thing. What we're doing is educated guesses based on what the aspect of is in the current world, or the way things usually go. We make an educated guess. Unless there is some things we specifically know for sure.
Yeah.
That said, homeboy randomly saying some shit on the internet is not a fucking credible source.
Yeah. So let's just put that to bed. But to get to the heart of the question, you know, and he just goes, okay, what game franchise would you like to see go in another direction?
Another direction, huh?
Like, what would you like to see?
I don't know. I mean, like, I feel like I don't know what needs to go into another direction. Like, do I want to see a Metal Gear Solid football game? No, I don't want to see a Metal Gear Solid football game. You know?
Yeah. Or like, turn-based Streets of Rage or something.
Turn-based Streets of Rage? Yeah, no, I don't want to see turn-based Streets of Rage. I mean, granted, I feel like with the Yakuza games, it's sort of that was sort of a big fluke on that one, right?
Yeah, that should have worked. You go
for a game that's you know, very sort of interactive to a more you know, turn-based sort of system.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, but I agree with you as a fluke. But I'm trying to think. Like, let franchises do what they're due, man. You know, like, you don't need to change them, you know. Yeah, Mario Kart's had a lot of crazy spinoff, hasn't Mario himself, you know. Mario Kart, Dr. Mario, Mario this, that, the other thing, you know. Mario RPG, you know, that's another one. What about the rest of you guys? Go ahead.
But here's the thing. Yeah. Mario RPG and all those other things, those are all pure on spin-offs.
Yeah.
The Yakuza game is literally a part of the Yakuza series.
It is Yakuza 7, effectively, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. What about the rest of you guys? Because my thing is, like, keep doing your thing, you know? Nothing. Everybody's imagination is gone tonight, you know?
Well, I can't think of it.
Yeah, it's a tough one. It's a tough one.
It's like, what did I say? I want Resident Evil Extreme Beach Volleyball? I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
I mean, the only real answers, I think, are like, take a video game series that you don't like and make it something you do, and there are a whole lot of those.
Yeah.
But everything I like, I don't want to change, man.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. And my thing is, even things I don't like, I wouldn't change either, because people who like those games should have them in that form. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm not trying to bite on somebody else's territory.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's like, there's things I want to see done right, but I can't think of, like, you know, would I take Yakuza and just say, can you just have the goofy stuff from Yakuza? Don't put it in your fighting. Just have all the gambling and all that stuff. Take out everything else. Like, but I don't want that, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's like, hey, I want Persona with first-person shooting controls. Like, no, don't do that, you know? Hold on. Bliss says, what about a Halo game that is less FPS and more story-based that dives into the lore? Why can't you do both? Why can't you just up the lore in the first-person shooting stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, leave Halo alone, man. You know, it's fine.
I mean, they changed genres with that. You could play Halo Wars.
Yeah, you could play Halo Wars, Gears Tactics, if you want a more tactical Gears experience, you know, so they do have them, you know?
But for me, I don't care for that.
Yeah. But that's like, do you want Mass Effect to be a turn-based, you know, a point-and-click adventure? No, don't do that. Don't fuck it up, you know? Although it could kind of work with dialogue, if you think about it. I think most of us here are the proponents of, like, leave the franchises, leave them be. Even if we don't like the franchise, leave them be. Let them do what they're going to do, you know? Diversity is a good thing, man.
But I also think that, like, I think that some of these franchises also need to admit that when they're beating a dead horse, maybe just take it, put it on the back burner for a little bit, concentrate on some other thing, and then come back.
Yeah. You mean like Halo?
Yeah, Halo needs to go into storage for a little bit, you know, absent makes the heart grow fonder, pull that thing out, be like, hey, this is pretty cool, and, you know, sort of rework.
Yeah, it's a tough question to answer.
Yeah, Carthy Kesu, we answered that question before. He goes, you know, what do you think is the likelihood that Halo Infinite, hold on, what the fuck? Well, he got clever with the language. All right. I have one more if you want. What's the floppability of Halo Infinite at E3 or in general? Okay, what's the likelihood of seeing Halo at E3? Ooh, close, Carlos, get in here, man. We may have to take some bets right now, son.
Some bets? Excuse me? Yeah, I think Halo is almost a guarantee to be at E3.
Ooh,
they have to. They got to have something. Mark your calendars. Mark your timestamps. It has to be there because it's the next game coming out for Microsoft. It's the only game that's coming out for Xbox that's this anywhere near this caliber that's an exclusive game in 2021, unless Brett's right and Starfield also comes out.
Yeah. By the way, Carthessa, we were asked that last week, like, what if the game flops? So we're asking another question. Will we see it at E3? Because I think that's actually more interesting, you know?
So you think it's interesting. Do you think people, at least people in this room, think it won't be?
I think it will be. As a matter of fact, that's why I'm saying, Carlos, do you want to take bets? But never mind, because you agree with me. I think it will be shown at E3, you know?
Is it?
Yeah.
I guess if there's one person that we might need to take a break, because Freudian slip there. Yeah. It might be Brett. Brett's usually the one off the beaten
track. But I don't think he cares, to be honest. Brett, do you care about Halo Infinite?
No.
See, I know Brett too well, man. I knew he wouldn't care. Remember, he only takes bets if he's passionate about it. He's not passionate about no Halo.
I mean, it's fun. It's cool. Like, I liked Halo, and then I didn't like Halo, and then I liked Halo, and I didn't like Halo. Like, man, there's some serious fatigue there, but, like, I'm not opposed to it, and I'll probably play it and enjoy it. But I'm not.
Xbox Game Pass, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, Bert, I think that's, I mean, what you just said right there is the Halo fan experience. You know, you loved it. You loved it a lot. It got better. It's crazy. Then you hated it. Then you kind of liked it. Then you hated it.
By the way, that's also my experience with the Walking Dead TV show. That's why I stopped. Like, I can't do this roller coaster anymore, man.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be shown. I mean, interesting enough, I was looking at the schedule earlier, at the schedule. Microsoft still hasn't announced the date where they're going to be doing their little E3 stuff, which I find interesting.
You're right.
I'm looking at the schedule right now. Nintendo, Square Enix, and Xbox have yet to schedule anything for their E3 activities or even Summerfest E3 kind of EA Play. You know, EA Play announced something, you know, for July. But yeah.
Check this out. This was posted 2 days. I never heard of this fucking site.
Really?
Forget it. This is the Jason Schreier thing. But it says it's gonna be a joint Xbox Bethesda conference at E3. Is that true?
I mean, it would make sense.
I mean, they're part of the same company now.
Why wouldn't they show one of their own studios? You know, like, hey, old studio, you're gonna have your own show. No.
Let's get you without Howard.
Yeah, go ahead.
But if they're having their own conference, what are they going to talk about if they're not talking about anything until after Starfield?
Oh shit! Yeah, man. Starfield may get announced, man.
They already got announced.
Excuse me. It's gonna get announced in the way Last Guardian was announced. You know, at E3 2015. You know, even though it was announced like 10 years before that, or 10 years before that. I'm exaggerating on that. It's like 8 years before that, right? Some shit like that.
Yeah, so I think it's important to note if Microsoft does actually do something at E3, because so far, you know, we're less than 3 weeks away, and they still haven't put a date yet. So if they do something, I'm pretty sure Halo is going to be there. Because the last time we got something from Halo was Craiggate.
Yeah.
Actually showed something.
Yeah.
So they have to show something that's going to be like, hey, this is what we've been working on. Hey, look, it doesn't look like it used to look anymore. It's got, you know, it's got a ray tracing and stuff. So they need to do something before the release of this game. And, you know, either they can do it at E3 or they can do their own separate event. I think they should just do it at E3. I don't think they should do their own Halo event anymore.
Yeah, Matt, gaming trend. What's going on, man? He goes, Matt Booty was the source of the joint conference. Okay, cool. He also goes, here's a fun question that no one's asking because of Starfield. It's Wolfenstein multiplat. Wolfenstein 3 will be exclusive, I'll tell you that. I'm telling you, any new game will be exclusive. I've said that before. Any new game will be exclusive. Should we have lowered expectations for Xbox? Why? Why should we lower expectations for Xbox?
Should we have lowered expectations or should we have
lowered?
They're pretty low now.
Okay, yeah, they're pretty low as it is, bro. Should we lowered, though? That's past tense. We should probably have lowered it for both consoles, to be honest, bro. They're not really, you know, PlayStation's obviously doing better just because it actually has new games, but, you know, this generation's just been bleh so far, you know? So can't really knock Xbox too much, you know? Can it go lower? No, because things are going to finally go up. But for Xbox, it's going to go lower. No, because they got Bethesda now. It could only go up from here, you know? So, yeah, that's what I think about that. Xbox, unless there's a big, massive fuck up, another Craig Gate, you know, maybe Doom Guy Gate or something. I don't know.
Doom Guy Gate.
Like, it's just going to be uphill from here for Xbox, you know? Who the fuck is that in the chat, man? Get rid of that shit. Kristen, you know what to do. Some fucking assholes in there. Oh, want to buy follows? No, I don't. You know? Shit is crazy. All right, man. I think we are done for the night, man. Man, you have anything to plug?
Well, there's usual things. Flowers, chocolates, promises you don't intend to keep. Actually, you know, there's the usual things. You know, excellence is real. It's out there. You can go get it. I'm still working on some new issues right now. Got some really cool things coming up for the Kickstarter. For all you guys who decided to go to back us, which I thank you in advance. We're going to have some new, you know, we had some new announcements. You know, me and Kari are going to be doing covers for Static. So that's coming up real soon. And we got a couple of other really cool ones coming up after that. Marvel, DC, all kinds of good stuff. So, you know, keep posted. As far as, you know, when my schedule gets a little bit better, you know, I plan to do another session of playing Near Replicant, you know, 2-1 whatever, all those numbers. Right now, as I said on the previous one of the episodes of What Are You Playing section, I'm sort of farming money. So, you know, I'm not playing a lot. I'm just farming money so that essentially when I actually do start playing, money won't be a problem within the game. Nice. So there you go.
All right, Adam, what you got?
Besides Judgment, the PS5 version, they didn't really, man, not every game needs a remaster. They just slapped that shit on there. Nothing's different. They're like, oh, it's faster. Yeah, it's gonna be faster anyway because it's on the SSD.
Even if it was just the PS4 version, it'd be faster. Yeah.
I was like, what else is there? Like, oh, we added the DLC. There wasn't much DLC to begin with. Not every game needs it. And the fact that it's not a free upgrade for people really sucks. Because if they know it, they're skimping it when it comes to the features of making it a quote-unquote remaster, then why are you doing this? Why are you just making a whole other version? So, whatever. So that's pretty much that. And my Horizon Chase Turbo, I still love that game, and that's it. Until the Tony Hawk that comes next month on Switch.
Yeah. You got reviews of those coming already on the site?
Yeah. Nice. That's definitely.
Yeah. And Chris and Carlos, you have something to plug, don't you?
That's right. Carlos and I were on the Coalition podcast. We talked about Army of the Dead. So we had an interesting discussion. You know, very, very different takes on how we saw the movie. So you can check that out on the Coalition. It was Dana, Carlos, myself, Joey Polanco, and Richard Bailey Jr. So we had a great talk about that movie.
We did have some controversial things to say.
Was Joey playing the movie in the background again? Like, in his projector on the wall?
No, he didn't have the projector going this time.
Oh, man, he fucked up. You know,
and that's right. I forgot.
I'm gonna disown him as my unofficial cousin, man, for fucking it up. You know.
I thought he would. He did the last time when we did "Those Who Wish Me Dead." He had it on the projector. I'm like, look at this bullshit. He had it right there.
I still remember when we did the Mortal Kombat fucking stream. He had this thing on. I'm like, yo, we've been doing this podcast for an hour. They haven't left the set yet. They've been on the same set for an hour. Oh my god. So yeah, go over to the Coalition. With a K.
And Coalition. Negan. I am Negan. We did another episode of I Am Negan.
There you go.
Episode 14, Mother. That's on there.
Mother.
Mother.
and Rich was right. Rich was right. I was disappointed. Yes. So there you go.
Adam will be very disappointed.
Good to see
him. Oh, man. Right. Good stuff. All right, guys. So we are out of here. So make sure you follow us on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube and join the Discord. You can find us on any podcast app by searching Throwdown Show. And you can visit thrashow.com to listen to past episodes into your ears. And if you're on YouTube and you enjoy this episode, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco. And tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you later, guys.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
And Adam Vale.
Have a good week, everybody.
All right, guys. We'll see you on Thursday. Later.
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 Peace.